Nakajima. Rie Nakajima. She's from Japan, but she's based in Europe. And I've only seen her work on video, but I absolutely love it. She makes these fragile sculptures that make quiet sounds, and they're so fragile that they can break, and they're sort of connected to the elements around them in that way. They're hard to explain, but you can check her out online. But as far as where to find sound art, I suppose you can.
This is WA3QIZ. Do you read me?
Seymour, isn't it about time you made a real friend?
Mother, please, I'm communicating with my fellow hams.
How do I talk? Push this button here. You're all losers!
This is Zena.
And this is Jahara.
And you're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM Acre.
I forgot to keep talking.
That happens sometimes.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. Today, we will hear listener mail, feedback from listeners about what they think of WGXC and community radio in the Upper Hudson Valley. You can give WGXC feedback anytime you want by calling 518-291-WGXC and leaving a 3-minute message about anything you want. You can tell us the good stuff, the bad stuff, what you'd like us to do, what you wish we didn't do. Again, that number is 518-291-9492. You can also email comments to feedback at wgxc.org. So we'll hear from some listeners today after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
The Hudson Area Library Tween Advisory Council presents an original escape room, Altered Zone, New York, Monday, October 14th, from 11 to 3 at the Hudson Area Library.
Backed by popular demand, come and play as a ragtag team of friends or family in this original escape room. This game is limited to 15 minutes, and the team with the shortest time will win a special prize!
RSVP online at HudsonAreaLibrary.org or call 518-828-1792. Don't miss all the fun.
Yeah, so come.
Welcome to the video rental store in your mind.
Looking for something to watch, but feeling overwhelmed by all the options?
Feeling unsatisfied with all the boring, restrictive categories like romance and drama or horror?
Tune in to Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda every second and fourth Tuesday at 7 p.m. and get turned on to movie genres like eco-horror,
unsettling kids' movies,
alien boyfriends,
creepy therapy.
Start listening so you can start watching today.
WGXE underwriting is provided in part by Kravitz & Son Roofing, a local family-owned and operated full-service roofing company for more than 48 years. Specializing in residential and commercial roof construction, repair, maintenance, and replacement, using high-quality and affordable roofing products. Information at 518-567-4026. Or online at KravitzandSonRoofing.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of the Curtin family of Tivoli, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
You are listening to 90.7 FM WGXC, the local hangout of the airwaves, Greene and Columbia counties.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. I'm Philip Graham. Natasha Von Holdridge reports for Columbia Greene Media that on December 9th, Columbia County reported another COVID-19 death.
Columbia County Department of Health Director Jack Mabb said the man was unvaccinated and had comorbidities. There were 5 COVID deaths in Columbia County in September, 2 in October and November, and 3 so far in the first third of December. Mabb said, and I quote, "We are also up to 22 in the hospital, with 12 being at CMH. They have one person there in the ICU," end quote. The coronavirus statistics locally are very similar to a year ago when no vaccines were available, but more people wore masks. This week, Columbia County announced 35 new positive COVID cases Thursday, and 47 new cases Monday, 59 Tuesday, and 47 Wednesday. Last year, during the same week, Columbia County reported 5 cases that Monday, 18 Tuesday, 18 Wednesday, and 21 that Thursday. Across the river, Greene County announced on December 9th, 73 more cases and another death. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Anika Kim Constantino reports for CNBC that New York Governor Kathy Hochul announced on December 10th a statewide mask mandate for all indoor public places unless businesses or venues have implemented a vaccine requirement beginning December 13th. The mandate stays in effect through January 15, 2022, when state officials will reassess. The mandate comes with winter beginning soon and COVID-19 case counts locally sometimes exceeding last year when vaccines were not available. Hochul said, and I quote, "We shouldn't have reached the point where we are confronted with a winter surge, especially with the vaccine at our disposal, and I share many New Yorkers' frustration that we are not past this pandemic yet," end quote. Since Thanksgiving, the state's weekly 7-day case rate has jumped by 43% and hospitalizations have risen by 29%. Hochul said in the statement, and I quote, "I have warned for weeks that additional steps could be necessary, and now we are at that point based upon 3 metrics: increasing cases, reduced hospital capacity, and insufficient vaccination rates in certain areas," end quote. Adding that the mask mandate, and I quote, "will no longer be necessary," end quote, if, and I quote, "others follow suit," end quote, and get vaccinated. Non-compliant businesses could be subject to a maximum fine of $1,000 per violation. Read more about this story at CNBC. Sharon LaFreniere and Noah Weiland report in the New York Times that the Food and Drug Administration December 9th authorized booster shots of the Pfizer-BioNTech coronavirus vaccine for 16 and 17-year-olds. This is good news, as initial laboratory tests suggest that the new fast-spreading coronavirus variant, Omicron, and I quote, "dulls the power of the 2 doses of the Pfizer vaccine," end quote. Less than a month ago, everyone 18 and older became eligible for a booster shot, 6 months after their first 2 doses, and nearly 50 million Americans have been boosted since then. Dr. Peter Marks, who oversees the FDA's vaccine division, said, and I quote, "Since we first authorized the vaccine, new evidence indicates that vaccine effectiveness against COVID-19 is waning after the second dose of the vaccine for all adults and for those in the 16 and 17-year-old age group," end quote. A booster, he added, and I quote, "will help provide continued protection against COVID-19 in this and older age groups," end quote. President Joe Biden said it was, and I quote, "even more great news from the FDA and the CDC. I say it to all of you, if you got vaccinated 6 months ago, get your booster right away," end quote. Read more about this story in the New York Times. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
Advocates for the environment are applauding the Biden administration's new executive order prioritizing climate initiatives, including federal purchasing of products that don't use the toxic chemicals known as PFAS. Proponents of clean water initiatives are also seeking additional action on the dangerous chemical in the state of New York and around the country. Today, a Senate committee hearing will examine the Department of Defense Inspector General's report on the federal response to PFAS detected in drinking water of military bases. Scott Faber with the Environmental Working Group hopes the hearing will answer questions for the communities affected.
How many service members were drinking contaminated tap water? How contaminated? For how long? Have we alerted those service members about potential effects of PFAS? If not, why not? When will we?
The working group says in New York, the Plattsburgh Air Force Base and Niagara Falls Air Base were found to have some of the highest rates of the contaminants in their drinking water. PFAS can't break down in the environment, and exposure to them has shown to cause negative health effects. In New York State, 64% of residents who responded to an April 2021 Siena College poll reported being very concerned about water pollution. Colin O'Neill, also with the Environmental Working Group, says it's also time for Congress to pass the PFAS Action Act, which has passed in the House.
This would set important deadlines for EPA to develop standards for PFAS under our various environmental statutes, including our federal cleanup law, which would further push DOD to clean up PFAS at military installations and other federal facilities.
In October, the Environmental Protection Agency announced a roadmap to address PFAS pollution, such as monitoring, research, and reporting requirements. In addition, a state-level bill that mandates monitoring the state's drinking water for emerging contaminants, including PFAS, now awaits New York Governor Kathy Hochul's signature. I'm Michaela Savitt for New York News Connection. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the weekend. Well, on Saturday, rain is likely before 8 a.m., then showers are likely after 8 a.m. It will be cloudy with a temperature high near 59 degrees. More showers and possibly a thunderstorm after 1 a.m. on Saturday night, then a slight chance of showers between 1 a.m. and 4 a.m. with a temperature low of around 36 degrees. And on Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 45 degrees. And Sunday night, mostly clear with a temperature low of around 29 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Nora E. Edelman of Athens, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
WGXC believes in creative use of the airwaves. WGXC is a program division of the nonprofit arts organization Wave Farm, based in Acre, New York. We are the only station in the country to dedicate significant airtime to radio as an artistic medium. Tune in to transmission art and experimental sound programming overnight and on Saturdays, and hear artists from all over the world who sculpt and compose with the airwaves.
You are tuned to 90.7 FM, WGXC. Hands-on, listener-supported radio for Greene and Columbia counties.
Oh, 60 was my number.
You're listening to the radio WGXC Acre 90.7 FM. I'm Tom Rowe in Acre. Next, we're going to hear from Paper Radio with the Art of Art.
A-P-E-R-R-A-D-I-O. Paper Radio. Paper Radio. Stories that talk.
Hello, Ben Rockwell here, and today on The Art of Art, we're continuing our feature on hypotheticalism, a new movement that challenges us to ask just what makes a work of visual art either art or even a work of, well, anything. In the second half of the show, we'll be talking to Tasmanian artist Damien Lee about his untended meadow.
I chose a meadow, the meadow, because it's quite alien to Australia, to our landscape. It's an imported idea. There's a kind of European imagery that allows it to persist, to fester in the mind, as it were, like a reverse diaspora.
But first, we're stopping by Sydney's Coastal Walk for an event as well known for its abstract works as for its playful ones, such as a giant fiberglass egg on Bondi Beach. I'm talking, of course, about Sculpture by the Sea, the spectacle that draws nearly 500,000 artgoers each year to sample a selection of contemporary sculpture. This year, the organisers went a step further to include a particularly controversial piece, not least because it escaped almost everyone's attention.
What are we looking at?
I don't know about it.
The work in question is The Role of Sight in the Age of Its Metaphysical Reproducibility by Anna Barclay.
The role of sight is about challenging material sensibilities and our obsession, our addiction to tangible forms.
So this is a conceptual work?
Oh, yeah. Without the concept, there'd be nothing.
After 15 years making some of the most recognisable public sculptures in the country, Barclay's current work has made her a leading exponent of hypotheticalism.
One of the questions I was trying to ask with the role of sight, really, is why are rectangles so prevalent? Canvases, pages, TV screens, photos. How did this shape become a central organising principle? Rectangles don't occur in nature. You know, they're man-made.
Right.
And they're modern, too. Look at the Incas. Ancient Egypt, Aboriginal culture. No rectangles, not that I've seen. We talk about the importance of the wheel, but think about life without rectangles. By excluding the form, I'm trying to draw attention to its artificiality. All my works use rectangles, in one way or another. Greyness is just a 10-kilometre rectangle. You know, people just don't see it as one because it's so long, really.
You're referring, of course, to the sound barrier along the M4?
Which people think is just a sound barrier. I like that. But in terms of scale, of exposure, it's easily the work of mine that is most visible. It's most well known. Which is something else I wanted to challenge myself with. Visibility.
So what do you mean, then, by an absent rectangle?
I mean exactly that. In your typical exhibition, you have walls, floors, taking the shape of a rectangle. You might hang some works, again rectangular, put some plinths, whatever. What I was aiming for with the role of sight was to get rid of all that institutional baggage.
And what were you left with?
Originally, a lot. Other shapes, obviously, in different dimensions and whatnot. But I mean, vision isn't rectangular. It's a cone. So shouldn't we be creating works specifically for vision? For our field of vision? I did a lot of research, a lot of prep, mapping out how it was going to work in the space exactly. In the end, though, I just didn't want to force it down people's throats. We fought over the plaque. I just wanted the space. Unadulterated. Lots of people asked if they'd been removed, you know? They couldn't get their heads around a pure conceptual work. With the role of sight, it wasn't a physical thing. It was the absence of the physical. The metaphysical. Which some people struggle with. Which in practice meant leaving the space blank.
Most of the works in Sculpture by the Sea jump out at you. They tend to be of a certain scale, larger than life. Barclay's piece was the antithesis of that.
I'm still not sure what we're looking at.
This work was really difficult for me, process-wise. Not making something. I mean, not producing something tangible. that really chides with the idea of being an artist. What does it mean for an idea not to be an artwork?
I wonder, how do you respond to the criticism of this piece? In the Sydney Morning Herald, John McDonald called the role of sight the work that wasn't there.
Well, we all know that John doesn't like Sculpture by the Sea. And on the whole, I don't get where he's coming from. Works like mine, people feel they can't locate meaning. They can't just put it in their pocket. But I like that, because it still affects them, you know?
Even if they don't know it's there?
Art doesn't need to always be a spectacle all the time, you know? It doesn't need to be for everyone, to always be signalling how you interact with it. I guess, ultimately, I felt people would get more out of it if I didn't make it. If a family from the suburbs doesn't get anything out of it, does it really matter?
You're on The Art of Art, and you've been listening to Anna Barclay discuss her conceptual sculpture, The Role of Sight, in the Age of Its Metaphysical Reproducibility, recently seen, if that's the right word, at Sculpture by the Sea. Stay with us after the break, when we'll be talking to Damien Lee about his untended meadow.
What I want to find out, essentially, is whether an Australian can tell if a meadow has been tended. And what is the expectation when you tell them it isn't? What possibilities does that open up?
And lastly, listeners everywhere can head to our website to see video footage of The Role of Sight at the 2013 Sculpture by the Sea. I'm Ben Rockwell, and you're listening to The Art of Art.
Hey, this is Paper Radio, coming to you from an untended meadow. The Art of Art came from the pen of Sydney writer Aidan Rolfe and the production hammer of Jesse Burrell. It was engineered by Miyuki Yokiranta, with sound design and composition by Nick van Kylenberg, and the voices of Micah Demmett, Claire Redenbach, and Waleed Ali. It also features illustration by Brian Duong. The Art of Art was a co-commission of Paper Radio and Radio National's Creative Audio Unit, with support from the Ian Reid Foundation and Arts Victoria. If you like it, or if you like anything that we do, check out paperradio.net to hear all of our stories. And maybe tell some other humans?
Now to absorb some local colour through the magic of AM radio.
The Book of Revelations tells us to watch for the seven signs of evil.
Bacon, sign of evil number 4.
Continuing our sign of evil countdown, here's Vanessa Williams.
Here's Sonic Youth with Antenna.
Thank you.
radio with FM 10.
P-A-P-E-R-R-A-D-I-O.
Paper radio. Paper radio. Stories that talk.
Sit tall. Release your shoulders down your back. Your head balances lightly on your neck. Now, gently place your hands on your knees, palms facing upward. Breathe deeply. Find a rhythm in your breath and use that rhythm to bring attention to the flow of the economy. Let the surplus and deficit rise and fall with your chest. Observe each growth and each recession as it passes through your body. Observe the financial markets without trying to change them or regulate them in any way. Picture in your mind's eye a beautiful new federal budget. Hold the image and feeling of this budget in your mind's eye and let it gradually come into greater focus. Observe its shape, its lofty peak and the large base, rooted in a self-governing free market. Breathe deeply. Now, bring the free market into your being. Let the self sitting here and the federal budget in your mind's eye become one. Recognize the risks of a sharp fiscal contraction. Observe them quietly and then let them go, your breath strong and steady. Breathe deeply. As you sit in stillness, let yourself share in the scale and majesty of the economy. Let yourself become the economy. Deeply rooted in the sitting posture, your head becomes the lofty peak, supported by the rest of the body. As you exhale, release low profit margins. And as you inhale, expand your lungs with an awareness of diminished global demand, lower commodity prices, and falling revenue. Breathe deeply. Imagine that every cell in your body is bathed in the glow of the free market. Watch the natural rhythms of the stock exchanges. Property speculation flows, interest rates change, moment by moment and day by day. Become fully aware that higher asset prices are helping to support the economy. Observe the calm that comes from the knowledge that the government will help the struggling economy. Notice any impulse to detach yourself. Notice any urge to see the economy as something outside of you. Then bring yourself back to the moment and observe how weak productive demand is hurting the economy. Clouds may come and clouds may go. None of this matters to the economy, which remains at all times essential.
Mm-hmm.
The economy's magnificence and beauty remain unchanged, whether people realize it or not. Like an ant on a mountain, your thoughts and feelings, your preoccupations, every single thing that happens in your life, they are only a small and insignificant part of the economy. Breathe deeply. As you inhale and exhale deeply, know that everything in your life, every second, every hour, every year, is a part of the economy. The breath in your lungs and the blood in your veins allow the economy to perform strongly and without interference. Take this awareness with you. With every breath, observe the greater wisdom of the free market. If you allow yourself to hold it within, you will come to know a profound transcendence.
You're listening to Paper Radio.
The guided economic meditation you just heard is the work of creative producer Jesse Burrell. Your transcendental guide was John Shear, with sound design by sonic guru Miyuki Jokiranta, and chanting courtesy of Odette Joannidis. The enchanting album art is from Mimi Lung. Transcendentalism is co-commissioned of Paper Radio, Jesse Burrell and John Chia, and RN's Creative Audio Unit, and wouldn't exist without the support of the Ian Reid Foundation and Creative Victoria's Art Program. Paper Radio tweets at Paper Radio, posts on Facebook, and keeps a record of every story at paperradio.net. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, and while you're over there, if you have another minute to spare, you can rate us. It gives little dudes like us a chance to be heard.
Actually, really wanted to do the credits for the story and harassed me for days. So, all good, right? No child labour involved at all.
You gotta try something.
You got a job at the radio station?
Oh, great, that place. It's dark and dirty and has, like, what, those three weirdos who work there?
Now we're thrilled to welcome 31 Down, longtime Wavefarm collaborators. 31 Down was among the founding roster of transmission artists established in the early 2000s. Members of this list of artists were called upon when then Microradio Collective Free 103.9 was invited to present in cultural institutions both in New York and across the globe. Almost exactly 15 years ago, 31 Down and Tom Rowe, this guy, performed live in the Puffin Room for the CD release of Free 103.9's Radio Action 1 in the first of a series of compilations featuring works with, for, or about radio. Several years later, 31 Down would produce their Canal Street Station project, which was an interactive telephone mystery where participants would make a toll-free call from any public payphone in the Canal Street Station and then find themselves guided on a payphone mystery. Now, everyone, I encourage you to come forward and enjoy. 31 Down presents DriftNet.
Hello again, hackers, iPhone trackers,
crypto cyber attackers. This is your favorite neighborhood penetration tester, Mike Sharpie here, broadcasting the latest edition of DriftNet from the front seat of my car, nestled nicely between an AM-PM mini market in a parking lot and a Wendy's in Akron, Ohio. Now, for those of you been following me doing this penetration testing, you'll know that the internet is a wonder of things. You'll know that I'm completely amazed all the time. This afternoon, I received a delivery of all my favorite snacks. I went online and checked the tracker, and they said it would take 2 days. It took 1.5 days. I'm always amazed by this technology. But who knows what to click on and when to click on it? One of the boons of this loss of net neutrality that we've all had and are experiencing is the fact that nobody wants to pay for their home internet anymore. So we go out to places. We go out to fast food restaurants. We go out to libraries. We go out anywhere where we can get some free Wi-Fi and use their connection instead of our own at home. But what if people are watching? What if people are looking at those connections? I tell you this, I've been following some Bitcoin bandits out there for a long time now. I've settled down here in Akron, Ohio, near a AM-PM that has a Bitcoin ATM. They're all over the place, these Bitcoin ATMs. And every Saturday, I've been watching who comes and goes from this Bitcoin ATM. Now, those of you who don't know what Bitcoin is, it's this bundle of blockchain currency where people are doing some nasty deeds on the dark web. Only Jeff Sessions, thank you, Jeff Sessions, he's out there to probe the dark web and find out who's using these cryptocurrencies, these decentralized banking masterminds. I'm going to find these masterminds, and I've tracked one down here to Akron, Ohio. Here we are in the Wendy's across from the Bitcoin ATM. I've set up a wireless access point at that Wendy's because I've noticed a trend. There's this one guy every Saturday. He goes in, uses the Bitcoin ATM, and then he takes his computer over to the Wendy's and logs in to their Wi-Fi. And I don't know what he does, but tonight we're going to find out. What are we looking for? I don't know. We could look around his computer a little bit, maybe find a login to Google, a login to Gmail, a login to Yahoo, maybe his Facebook profile. We'll see how we're feeling. But right now, let me show you a little bit about this tech. I've set up this wireless access point called Free Wendy's Wi-Fi. Now, I just pulled up out front of the Wendy's. I have this really cool router plugged in my computer, and I log in to a router that I called Free Wendy's Wi-Fi. Now, anybody that shows up at the Wendy's, now they can log into the Wi-Fi. For you tech geeks out there, I'm using the Netgear Nighthawk R7000. Now, I bought this Netgear Nighthawk R7000 at the Best Buy over off Eisenhower Boulevard. This Netgear Nighthawk R7000 comes with the firmware out of the factory, but now I can change that firmware and use DDWRT. Now that's an open source Linux firmware on this router. Now I'm using version 24, Service Pack 1, it just came out. Now what I'm doing is I'm creating a web server on this router. Now I'm just using this little Raspberry Pi like everybody has these days. It's Raspberry Pi running an Apache 2 web server to run our fake splash page. So you know when you go to a airport and you log in, and when you log into the Wi-Fi, a little page appears and says, hey, you accept our terms and conditions. Now what if I made one of those at Wendy's Free Wi-Fi? You log into the Wi-Fi and voila, you're in my control. I can watch everything that goes on your computer. So, in my Netgear Nighthawk R7000, I've loaded this WWDRT firmware. As you can see, for those of you who are live, those of you that are on the radio, you might not see it, but you can follow along too with your own DDWRT router that you're setting up. Now, here I can see. I've called it Wendy's Free Wi-Fi. And now I've also made a services page here and a hotspot. And now the hotspot acts as a splash page. So when that splash page comes up, I'm using NoCat Splash out there for all you tech heads. So I see that my splash page is my IP address of my Raspberry Pi. So if I go in with my phone and look for wireless networks in the area, I can see that there's one here called Wendy's Free Wi-Fi. There it is. And when I log into Wendy's Free Wi-Fi on my phone, a little Wendy's splash page pops up in millennial pink. Now, it automatically says I've agreed to the terms and services, and then when I log into the free Wi-Fi, it takes me to another page saying, congratulations, you're on Wendy's free Wi-Fi. So hopefully that guy comes across the street from the Bitcoin ATM and logs into Wendy's free Wi-Fi. So what I can do here on this router is I can see the clients that are attached to this router. I can see wireless status, and I can see the local network. I'll go down to the local network and look at all these phones that are here. Phones that might be in this space. I see me, there's Mike Sharpie, and a few other people have logged into this Wi-Fi. Now I have to see who is the most mysterious one that might use a Bitcoin ATM. And I see one here that has an asterisk on it that looks Samsung. Also looks a little suspicious. And there's just an iPhone. These are all the participants in my Wi-Fi network. Now, before we get to attacking one of these browsers, I'd just like to take a moment and talk about Blue Apron. I've been using Blue Apron for a while, and I want to say that I never really liked cooking too much. I mean, Cheryl did all the cooking. I didn't really know how. I knew how to eat a can of soup or something. But ever since Cheryl left, I've been going to fast food and places like that, but I really want to use Blue Apron. So I've been driving around Akron, Ohio, kind of looking for some buildings that might have some residents that are buying Blue Apron. Now what I do is I go into the foyer of their building and find their Blue Apron box, take it back to my car, and drive off. Usually I can get two or three boxes in a day of hunting. It doesn't take very much gas to do that. Go back to the Wendy's. Now what I've been doing with Blue Apron, and I love them. God love Blue Apron. They have all the ingredients in there. Now, I don't really go by the directions. I just take all that stuff and kind of dump it in the hot pot that I have in my car, and I just make a stew out of that stuff. The Blue Apron stew, I call it. It's really good. I can't recommend Blue Apron more. I recently saw their stock was up to $10 a stock. It went down to $3 a stock, so I just invested a lot of money in Blue Apron. So I'm really hoping that goes up again so I can eventually apply to live in one of those buildings that people use Blue Apron at. So anyhow, aside from Blue Apron, and I also want to talk about Best Buy. Best Buy has a great return policy. My Nighthawk R7000, this was on sale at Best Buy down off Eisenhower Boulevard for $179. But guess what? That's going right back in my bank account, because after this, I'm going to drive that right back over there and return it to Best Buy. Great return policy. So let's get to the brass tacks here. Let's get to why we all came. What we're going to do is a bit of cross-site scripting. We're going to use Beef XSS. Now, the Beef Project is a fascinating browser penetration testing tool that you all have. Now, what we're doing is we're here on Kali Linux, which we always are on DriftNet. And I can see in Kali Linux along the sidebar, I have a little cow. It's blue. It's the Beef XS framework. Beef stands for Browser Exploitation Framework. Where they get the extra E, I don't know. But as I start up the Beef project here, it brings up a terminal window. You following along at home on the radio can also bring up the Beef terminal window. So now, I can see here this thing called hook. Now what we want to do is we want to hook somebody's browser. In Beef, we're hooking them. I think they make that all kind of work together, a Beef hook. So this is our JavaScript hook that we're going to do. So basically, what I do is I insert this code here, the script code, into any web page. I put that in a web page. Somebody clicks onto that web page. You don't know it's there. Next thing you know, you're hooked, and I can get into your computer. So let's see. Anybody that logged onto Wendy's free Wi-Fi currently is hooked by the Beef browser. So what I do is I open up Beef, opens up in my web browser. I'm using Firefox here on Kali Linux, and the password is Beef, Beef, as it should be. Now, over here on the side, hook browsers will come in, but this is our basic page in Beef that we can see. Now, what I want to do is I want to find the browsers that are hooked to my Beef control panel, and then we can look for some fun information. So I see one here, 192.168.1.117. That's on our local network. So let me see, I'm gonna go back here to our router and see what the Wendy's wireless. So here, that one that I was curious at, bingo, 192.168.1.117. That very well could be my Bitcoin bandit. So let's go back to Beef. Now in Beef, I'm going to click on that page. So this here, this 192.168.1.121, that's our little Raspberry Pi web server over there. It's saying hello. It's hosting this web page that we're all seeing. Then we come down, 192.168.1.117, that's our Bitcoin bandit. And I can see a few details in here of him. I can see that, for instance, he's not running Google Gears. I can't really use his phone. I can go down. I see it's a laptop. I see the operating system is Linux there. So it probably is a little Chromebook or something like that. Now, I'm going to skip over here to this tab called Commands in the center of your window. Now, these are all the commands that I can issue to get access to your phone. Through this, I can get access to your phone, to your web browser, to your computer. I can look at the camera on your computer here. Here's a webcam look, and I can see an image. Can do a few things. Now, we heard recently about the big hack, that big, banking hack that happened recently where everybody's banking information. So that was through an Adobe Flash page that popped up. Update your Adobe Flash. If you ever see that randomly pop up, what do? Of course, you click yes. You should always update your Adobe Flash. So let's see if this guy on 192.168.1.117 will click on an Adobe Flash update. So here, I'm going to go down to the bottom of our module tree and select social engineering. The hit words of 2018, social engineering. And here, I can see some options that fake flash update, there it is. So click on fake flash update, and then on the right, where I can see what my fake flash update says to do, it says it prompts the user to install an update. Now here's where I can install malicious software. If they click update, they download a malicious software, I can use Metasploit or another framework to get in there and exploit their computer a little bit more. But what I want to do, let's just see if they click yes on this Adobe Flash update. So here, I'm going to enter the IP address of my attacker machine, which is 192.168.1.100. That's this computer right here. So I will say, let me move this out of the way. Sorry, let's see. 192.168.1.100. Port 3000, that's the port that the Beef server on my computer is talking to these hook browsers. And just a sidestep, we're on a local network, the LAN. I could do this with port forwarding through our wonderful router here and make this accessible to anybody on the wide network. So don't feel just because you're connecting on the wireless network Wendy's that you're safe. So now I'm going to click execute there. On that computer, on 192.168.1.117, a flash update has appeared. Now, I didn't issue...
That's called a custom payload. I didn't put...
My microphone seems like it's coming out of place there. So I didn't put a custom payload there. We could put a Firefox extension to automatically download. I could put a file to automatically download. But we didn't do that. We just wanted to see if they clicked on it. So I'm going to click this command and see, oh yes, here, data result, the user has clicked the file. So the person is not as web savvy as I thought they would be. So to end this here, this evening, let's look for something fun. Let's look for their Facebook login. Let's do one of those, they're searching the network, and all of a sudden it pops up. Oops, Facebook needs you to re-log in. We've all seen that before. So that's a really fun one here. So this one, and this is called Pretty Theft. Pretty Theft in the Beef Exploitation Framework. So I click on Petty Theft, and here I can choose on the right panel, for those of you following at home, the dialog type. So I could say, do a Facebook login, do a fake LinkedIn, Windows, a YouTube, a Yammer, an iOS, or a generic. I could make a generic login. So here I'm going to say, let's do Facebook. Now the background, let's make it gray, like they say. Now I'm going to do this, and I'm going to enter once again the IP address of my attacker machine, which is 192.168.1.100. Hello. Now, I will click execute. So then, we see if they enter their Facebook credentials. Now this is what I'm interested in. Not they opened it up, not they clicked on the Adobe Flash update, but they actually give me their Facebook login. So then I can go log into Facebook with their account and possibly message their friends, update their relationship status, possibly change the password. Then I have access to it, and then I can send a lot of spam out. Here it is. The person did answer. Their login is 619-358.